Anthony Gregory joins us, a research fellow at the Independent Institute, and is the author of The Power of Habeas Corpus in America, From the King's Prerogative to the War on Terror. Anthony, welcome to the program.
Ernie, it's great to be with you.
Well, I appreciate your coming on. You know, habeas corpus, you're going to have to go into some detail about the legal meaning of habeas corpus for those who don't know to start with, and then I have a host of questions I want to ask you about this.
Well, habeas corpus is Latin for have the body. It's a judicial order where a judge orders another government official to prove that someone's imprisonment is legitimate. And so the idea is it goes back to England where they would say, bring forth the body. I want to know who you got and why you got him. And this power is used by judges to make sure that people are not being imprisoned unjustly. And for hundreds of years, it's been part of the Anglo-American heritage and a key component of our legal systems. And so at various times, it's under assault and it's under attack, but it's also, by its nature, it's kind of a governmental procedure. It's not always a perfect remedy at achieving it what it's supposed to achieve.
You know, Anthony, I know when the war on terror began after September 11th, that a lot of people began to wonder about certain rights and certain powers of judges and courts and what the government could and couldn't do. And habeas corpus became a debate. It became a part and parcel of people who were worried about what rights and what things might be changed, in essence, giving up rights for protection, for security.
That's right. The 9/11 and then the war on terrorism have definitely made habeas corpus more of a household word than it has been in a very long time, such as it is. I'm not saying everyone's talking about it, but it did become an issue because if the government can detain people without demonstrating cause, you might say, well, I'm going to make an exception for terrorism, but then you have all kinds of questions about where that power ends. I mean, who can they do this to just anybody? How long can they hold somebody without just cause? And we see very troubling things happening where the government has, for example, at Guantanamo, where there have been people cleared for release who've been there for 10 years, and there's a hunger strike and all this horrible stuff going on because they've been cleared as not even a threat, but there's no one who's really has the authority to force the executive branch run by the Obama administration to let these people go or do something about it.
Have we seen any examples outside of Guantanamo? Have we seen any examples with American citizens where they were they just didn't have habeas corpus on their side?
Well, at first they did try with Jose Padilla under the Bush administration. They did go for this enemy combatant theory, but then when they were rebuffed by the courts, they kind of just gave up and went about it more by the book. But one thing that his case and many other cases show is even when it seems like they're going by the book, that doesn't necessarily mean you have justice. I mean, we have, you know, Bradley Manning, the whistleblower. A lot of people don't think he should necessarily be in prison for decades. And we have people who are held much longer than you'd think they would be held without getting a hearing. They might get a hearing after years, and then maybe one judge will say you should let them go, and then another judge, you know, will stall, and it'll go on and on. And in many cases, these people aren't even anything we could remotely call terrorists. I mean, some of them are, but many of them are not. So it's a problem.
If we didn't have September 11th, if that never happened, Patriot Act, if all of these things hadn't happened, would this even be an issue? Or has it come up as an issue in the past in our country?
Well, it sure has, especially at wartime. During wars, we've had the biggest erosions of habeas corpus, particularly the Civil War, World War II. I cover this all in the book, and the war on terror. But there's, of course, we have a huge prison system in general, and people might think that doesn't relate directly, but there's all kinds of due process problems going on in just the normal criminal justice system, and that's one thing habeas corpus has been supposedly meant to remedy over the years. The federal courts have claimed these powers, saying that they would make sure people aren't going to prison unjustly. You know, kind of like as an appeals process. Habeas has become another tool like that, and that has also been restricted quite a bit through legislation and through other measures over the years to restrain the ability of the courts to make sure that, you know, in many cases, innocent people aren't in prison.
Anthony Gregory, research fellow at the Independent Institute. He's the author of The Power of Habeas Corpus in America, From the King's Prerogative to the War on Terror. Anthony, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.